Good evening. For the last few weeks, we've had the pleasure of some fill-in speakers up here that were professionally trained. I know TJ and Brother Dean and Brother Riley did a great job. I am not one of those people. I am not a professionally trained speaker, but glad to have the opportunity to speak with you tonight. Like I've told you before, I think when I taught a class, I prepare what I prepare. If I say it in 5 minutes, well, we're done. If I say it in 30 minutes, well, hopefully you set your DVR for your favorite show, and we'll be okay. So, nevertheless, if anybody was in my class, we taught back in the when it was cold. Remember it being cold. I talked about one of my hobbies is working on watches. I love to work on watches, vintage watches, and I brought the insides of a pocket watch that I've been working on, some of the junk that I keep around the house playing with. And I enjoy it very much. It's more of my wintertime hobby when I'm not doing stuff outside. I sit at my desk with my little things and play with the watch. And I enjoy it very much. It's the study of horology, and that would make you a horologist. I told my mother I wanted to be a horologist, and she was very upset. So I explained to her exactly what it meant. It's the study of time, being the horo word, being the word for hour. So it's the study of time. So anyway, well, I love the watches, the pocket watches and the vintage watches. You know, I really enjoy it. My favorite part of the watch is this part that I'm holding in my hand. This is the movement. This is the little part inside, not all the fancy stuff in the case. This is just the portion that tells time. And when this watch was made in the early 1900s, a gentleman would have went to the store and he would have picked out this part. This part, depending on what he could afford, you get a fancier, less fancier one, and then he'd take whatever money he had left, and he would pick a case out to go with it. The rich man would get the fancy gold one with his name on it and a scribing of a deer or a train or something, and the worker man would just get just a plain brass one or silver one, whatever the case may be. But the end result was he had an item that would tell him the time of day. Whether he was a rich man or poor man, he got the same time of day. So like I say, this one was made around the turn of the century, about 1900, a nice American Waltham, size 12. So what's the most interesting about a movement, and what's fascinating to me, is everything in the watch is there for a purpose. There isn't nothing in there that doesn't have a purpose. And if any one part is missing, it won't work. And if there is any extra part, it won't work. It is designed only to work by the way it is designed to work by the person who designed it. It will not function with even the tiniest little screw. If it's not there, it won't work. The tiniest little spring's not there, it won't work. Or if you stick an extra part in there, oh, that really doesn't work at all. It's only designed to work the way it was designed to work by the man who created it or the company that created it. Okay, Jason, that's all very interesting. But how does that apply to my spiritual life? Okay, we're going there. I got 3 points, 3 things that I want to bring out about this. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn to the 2 Timothy. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll look at verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you see, the gospel isn't much different than my little watch movement. It's only designed to work one way. It cannot be added to. Cannot be removed from, just like the gospel the Lord gave us. There's only one way. The gospel is only one message. We can't take things away from the gospel and expect it to work, just like if I took a part out of my little watch, it wouldn't work. We can't add parts to the gospel and expect it to work, just like I can't add parts to my little watch and expect it to work. Now, there's also, I have buckets of watch parts at home, and some of them look very much like the ones that are in here, very similar. You can almost not tell without looking at a microscope if they're different. But if I put that just a little bit wrong part in here, it won't work anymore. Just like the gospel. Lots of people are taking out parts and putting in a part that looks very similar. Something that looks almost exactly like what was in there. But it doesn't work. You can't change the gospel. You can't change the message of what God gave us. It was designed by the master watchmaker, the master planner, and we have to stay with the plan. It only works the way that God designed it to work. God does know best. Point number two. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I'm going to read 12 through 26. I think we have to have the whole message here. It's 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 26. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and we have been made to drink from one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one members, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he's pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And to our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the parts which lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members are honored with it. So in this passage we see that the body, if we talk about our physical body, all parts are important. I don't know if anybody here has lost a part, but you'll miss that part if it's gone. I know Mr. Arthur missed a part. Lost part of his thumb, isn't it? Yeah, you miss that, don't you? So you need a body part, and the body is supposed to be all together. Dr. Cool can't take many of your parts, and you still function correctly, right? Except for the spleen. I don't know what it does. Apparently you can do without it. But the body is meant to be, we need all our parts. They all work together to make us the whole. And also, it's likened to the body as the church. The church needs all its members. And that's not just the people that are signed up to be here. It needs the members of the church everywhere to be doing their job. Everybody needs a job. Everybody has a job. And if not everybody's doing a job, the body won't function. Just like my little watch movement, again, if one of its parts isn't doing a job, it isn't working. Same way in the church. If people aren't doing their job, then the church isn't working. God designed it for everybody to have a part, to everybody to have a job. Your job may be a big job. You may be like Kevin or Eddie or Jake, somebody that teaches a class all the time or preaches or leads singing or teaches little kids in the classroom, which is probably the hugest, scariest job of all here. But there's lots of people who do other jobs that we don't even see happening. There's jobs that work behind the scene, and if those people didn't do it, the work of the church here would not continue. So it's very important that everybody have a job. If you don't have a job, find a job. Find something to do. You'd never be surprised that lots of people need help. You ask any deacon here if he needs help with his ministry, he'll give you something to do. If you ask any teacher, Kevin's raising his hand back in the back. If you ask any teacher if they want help teaching in a class to train you, they'll say, yeah, everybody needs help. So please find a job, be part of the little movement that makes the church run. Point number three, this always takes longer when you practice at home. Okay, we're going to look at Luke. Look at Luke 13. We're going to study verses 6 and 7. This is the parable of the fig tree in Luke 13. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" It's a stern warning to unfruitful trees. Now, we know that as Christians we're supposed to be fruitful. If you think back to our little watch here, a good watch repairman, a good watchmaker will study this watch movement, take it all apart, look at it under a microscope, clean it, inspect it, to make sure that everything in it is just as it's supposed to be, that everything is to specification, that everything follows the rule that it's supposed to follow to do as it does. And our Lord is no different. We are going to be examined. We're going to be closely examined in Judgment Day against a set of known rules to see if we were fruitful or not. And we don't want to be, in the end, a part that is found. In my job, we have unserviceable parts. And an airplane part gets too old, it becomes unserviceable, we throw it away. If there's a watch part in my little watch that's no good, I have to throw it away and get a new one because it's useless. It doesn't perform. It doesn't meet specification. It didn't do what it was supposed to do. And we don't want, brothers and sisters, us to find ourselves in Judgment Day in the category of we didn't do what we were supposed to do. We didn't meet specifications. We were the missing part that kept things from working properly. We don't want to be the unfruitful tree that's dug up. So that's my lesson tonight. If there's anybody in the audience tonight who needs the help of the church in any way, if we can pray for you, if you need to be baptized, we have water. There's no better time to do that than right now. We'll stop everything and baptize you and be glad. So if there's anything the church can do for you, come as we sing our invitation hymn.